Amen. Well, it's my great pleasure to invite my friend Lee.
Hey.
This is Lee and Lydia. You can say something if you want about yourselves. I met Lee probably a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years nearly.
Yeah,
yes. So we've kindled a friendship from there. So it was good to invite him up. I said that now in anticipation. How's that?
Yeah.
So I'm going to hand over to Lee, and you'll bring the word.
Yeah,
you can
awesome.
Tell us about yourself as well, if you want
to. Okay, a little bit about myself. All right. It is really nice to be with you guys today. We're really glad to be up here and to meet with Johnny and Joe and Hope and Ethan. Since we've been getting to know them, thanks, Ian. That's very kind of you. And, we met just from sitting next to one another at a conference, and we just got on with Johnny really, really right from the get-go. Whenever I get to meet with Johnny, I always take notes. So I don't know if you take notes when you listen to Johnny. I do. I really appreciate what he's got to say. So I'm a pastor of a church in Grantham in Lincolnshire. That is where I was born, in Grantham. But it's not where I grew up. I grew up down in the West Country, ERR, where the farmers are. So I grew up down there just south of Bristol. But I moved back to Grantham when I was 18, which is longer ago than I care to remember now. Anyway, so I'm here with Lydia, my wonderful wife, and my three amazing children, Joshua, Phoebe, and Ethan. And we're very happy to be with you today. How long have I got, Johnny? Don't tell me I've got too long, you know. I went to an Anglican church last year, and they said, you've got 10 minutes. I was like, thanks, that's really generous, 10 minutes. I managed to squeeze it into 15, and at the end a guy came up to me and he said, I give you 9 out of 10 for that. I was like, oh, thanks. I think he dropped me a mark because I went over the 10 minutes. Anyway, I believe that God's got something for us together today. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 11. So if you've got a Bible and you want to go there, then do please join me in Luke chapter 11. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. And we're going to read a few verses from Luke chapter 11. Starting at verse 5. And it says there, then teaching them more about prayer, Jesus used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread, and you say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night, my family and I are all in bed, I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And that's what I want to talk about today, is shameless persistence. As I said, I've got 3 children. My children have nailed shameless persistence. You know, daddy, 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 daddy. See, I'm not a multitasker. So if I'm doing something, I need to be concentrating on that one thing, especially if it's watching the TV. You know, I've got a good, my kids will do an impression of me when I'm watching TV. Like that. So, you know, they'll go, daddy, 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 until I, what, what? You're interrupting me. Can I have a drink? So they've really nailed this thing called shameless persistence. And the thing is that God invites us to shameless persistence, to you and to me. He goes on to say in these next verses, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks on the door, that door will be opened. But the thing is, not everyone does keep knocking. Not everyone does keep seeking. And not everyone does keep knocking on that door. But God invites us to do that. He wants you and I to get to that place of persistence. And I was thinking, why? Why, God? Why the persistence? And I just believe it's because in the place of persistence, that is the place of faith. That persistence is actually a symptom of faith, of believing and of putting our trust in God. So God calls us to that place of faith because that's the place of the breakthrough. That's where the door gets open. That's where we find things. That's where we discover things. And so I was asking God, you know, okay, show me shameless persistence in your word. Let's have a look at shameless persistence in your word. So I've brought a chair with me. Well, I haven't brought it with me, but I thought, let me have a chair, because when I was a child, my dad, he used to do an impression of a guy who was on TV at the time, several years ago now. And I don't, you know, you've got to be fairly old to remember that this guy was called Max Bygraves. And Max Bygraves, he apparently had a catchphrase, which was, "Let me tell you a story." And he had a really deep voice, even deeper than my voice. "Let me tell you a story." So we're going to read a story now. We're going to read almost a whole chapter, shock, of the Bible. But don't panic, it's not Leviticus. We're going to go to 2 Kings. And this is 2 Kings just does read like a fascinating story. Yesterday, I read another 6 chapters of 2 Kings. It's so interesting. Oh, let me read another bit. So we're going to read 2 Kings 4, and we're going to start at verse 8, and we're going to look at some shameless persistence from this story in 2 Kings 8, okay? We're going to read right through to verse 37, so brace yourselves. So that's why I'm sitting down. All right. Not because I'm weak of leg or anything, but... anyway, so we're going to read 2 Kings 4, verse 8. It says, "So one day, Elisha went to the town of Shunem, and a wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. And she said to her husband, 'I am sure that this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. And then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by.' So one day, Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to his upper room to rest. And he said to his servant, Gehazi, 'What can we do tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her.' And when she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, 'Tell her, we appreciate the kind concern that you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?' 'No,' she replied. 'My family takes good care of me.' Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, 'What can we do for her?' And Gehazi replied, 'She doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man.' 'Call her back again,' Elisha told him. And when the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, 'Next year, at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms.' 'No, my lord,' she cried. 'Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that.' But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant, and at the time the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said." And the first thing I want to stop on is these words, "just as Elisha has said." This is the thing, that there was a promise here. We're going to get further into that in a minute. But there was a promise here. This time, next year, you'll have a son. And so she gets this miracle boy, the woman from Shunem. The thing that she's been, you know, she didn't even think that she could ask for it. But you could tell that it's on her heart. "Oh no, don't deceive me with that thing that I've really wanted." But sure enough, she did get a son. So if we keep on reading verse 18, it says, "So one day, when her child was older, he went out to help his father who was working with the harvesters. Suddenly he cried out, 'My head hurts, my head hurts.' And his father said to one of the servants, 'Carry him home to his mother.' So the servant took him home and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, he died. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Then she shut the door and left him there. she sent a message to her husband, "Send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back." "Why go today?" he asked. "It is neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath." But she said, "It will be all right." And some translations say that she says, "All is well." Okay? Now, I was thinking about this. Where is she? Where's she got to go to? So she's in Shunem, and Elisha is in Mount Carmel. And I thought I'd Google it to see if I could find out where Shunem was in relation to Mount Carmel. So I Googled it, and it came up with a maps result. Shunem to Mount Carmel, 53 kilometers. It'll take you 57 minutes via the A66. So you can still get from Shunem to Mount Carmel, but 53 kilometers, that's no gentle stroll. And here she says, "So she saddled the donkey and she said to the servant, 'Hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you.' So as she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw him in the distance, and he said to Gehazi, 'Look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child?'" I think this is really interesting that what Elisha says is, "Everything all right with you? Is everything all right with your husband? Is everything all right with your child?" And it's spelled out in every translation that is everything well with you and with your husband and with your child? Really specific. And her response is, "Yes, everything is all right," to Gehazi. So the woman told Gehazi, "Everything is fine." But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him, caught hold of his feet. Now Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is." Then she said, "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? Didn't I say, 'Don't deceive me and get my hopes up'?" Then Elisha said to Gehazi, "Get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly. Lay the staff on the child's face." And this is the plan here. At this point, this is how we're gonna sort this situation out. Is we get, "You go, Gehazi, take my staff and lay it on the child's face." The mother wasn't having any of that. All right, because it says here, "But the mother said, 'As surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you come with me.'" That's a bit of shameless persistence. How do we know that it's shameless? We've got this thing here that her coming down and falling at Elisha's feet, this is not protocol. This is not normal because Gehazi goes to push her away. But she's like, "You're not going to push me away. I am determined." This is shameless persistence. She is not going home without her answer. And I really see this, that this woman, what she's doing is she's running to the Holy Spirit. She's running to the Holy Spirit because the man of God, Elisha, he had the power of God on him. He had the power of the Holy Spirit. Now for you and I, where's the Holy Spirit? Where does the Holy Spirit dwell now? Right inside you and me. And each one of us, we've got the Holy Spirit. So what do? When we need something, where do we run to? We run to the source of power. We run to the Holy Spirit. Say, "I am not leaving. I'm not moving till we've got this answer sorted." And this is what she does. So Elisha returned with her, and Gehazi hurried on ahead. He laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. All right, so where's her faith at? Her faith is with the man of God. Her faith is with Elisha. And so nothing happens there. There was no sign of life. So Gehazi returns to meet Elisha and told him, "The child is dead." When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead. It was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone, shut the door behind him, and prayed to the Lord. Then he lay on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, The child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi, called the child's mother, and he said, when she came in, Elisha said, here, take your son. And she fell at his feet, bowed down before him. She was overwhelmed with gratitude, and then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. So this is the story. I think it's an awesome story. And there's stuff for us to learn in here. Whoops, me spilling my drink, sorry. There's lots for us to learn from this woman, Shunem, that she was exercising faith through her shameless persistence. She wasn't going to be put off, and she wasn't going to quit. She wasn't going to back down. She said right from the get-go, this 53-kilometer journey on the donkey. And I mean, at a good run, it was going to take them 5 hours to get there. So this isn't like a light journey to get to Mount Carmel. But she says to the servant, hurry, and you don't slow down unless I tell you. And I think that we can see here from this woman that she's determined to get to the source of power, and nothing is going to stand in the way of that answer. And one of the things that I felt that God was saying to me about shameless persistence is that it's not about the length of time it takes for something to come to pass, but it's the attitude that gets results. And that is this attitude of faith that's going to do whatever it takes. And so, you know, maybe there's something that you've been praying about, something that you've been asking God about, and you're waiting, and you're still wanting to see that. Might be a small thing, might be a big deal to you. Don't stop persisting in that faith. I was thinking about this woman, that she was like laser focused in this trip to Mount Carmel. You know, she wasn't going to, you know, hurry, don't slow down, because she had an idea and a plan that this was going to be sorted by the man of God, and I'm going to go there and get this thing sorted. But she didn't want anything to interfere with that. So everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. Nothing is going to get in the way of her getting to the source of power. When we talk about shameless persistence, who gets to do shameless persistence? Who's in charge of that? So if I want to be shamelessly persistent, who's in charge of that? Is that one of you? No, it's me. It's me. I'm the one that gets to choose to live a life of shameless persistence. And I want to share with you something from Romans 4, if you want to go there, because we're talking about persistence as a symptom of faith. And in Romans 4, we get this discussion about Abraham, and his faith was attributed to him as righteousness. And so we've got this thing about Abraham. Oh, mate, he was in faith. And in Romans 4 and verse 19, it says, being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I am reading this from the King James as it happens. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then verse 21 says this, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, at our church, The guys that listen to me regularly, they know that I love things in threes. I've just got this thing about threes. So quite often, there's 3 points, there's three things that... I just think God gives me things in threes. My name is Lee. It has three letters in it. You know, and there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I think we're on a fair setting there. But here, as we get into Romans 4, there's three things beginning with P, which is puts me in a very happy place. So we've got three things beginning with P: persuaded, promised, and perform. And as we look at them, we see that Abraham was fully persuaded. Right, so he was not going to back down. It says that he didn't consider the deadness of his own body. Now, the woman from Shunem, she didn't even consider the deadness of her child. She put him up on the bed and said, "Everything's fine. Everything's fine." And so Abraham says, "Look, I'm not even going to consider those things." He was persuaded, but that persuasion was based on a promise. It's based on a promise. There was, like, Johnny's got the books to give out, a sure foundation. You've got to know what you're persuaded about. If you're going to be persistent on something, what are you persisting in? There are many people persisting in all sorts of wrong ideas. You know, they're standing there, sticking to it. But it's not a promise from God. But if it is a promise from God, then you can stand on that. You can stand on that. So he was fully persuaded that what he was promised, and then this is the cool bit, I think, the last P here, it says that he, and the he it's talking about here is God. He is able to perform. So if you're persisting, God's going to be the one who's performing. And that's the awesome news, because he is able. He's completely able to do that thing that you're looking for, that thing that you're waiting on, that thing that you've been praying for. God is able. God is able. So here we've got from Abraham, shameless. Shameless is fine. Faithless, that's not. Shameless is fine. Faithless is not fine. And we see the woman at Shunem, and we also see from Abraham that they were operating in faith. So I want to do one, or maybe one, maybe 20, but another scripture. If you want to go with me to Matthew 15, please. Matthew 15, because I was, you know, just going, okay, God, let's just keep talking about shameless persistence. And there's a point that we want to find in this next text from Matthew chapter 15 and verses 21 to 28. 21 to 28. Again, this one I'm going to read from the New Living. It says there in verse 21, "Then Jesus left Galilee and he went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely.' But Jesus gave her no reply. Not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She's bothering us with all her begging. And then Jesus said to the woman, 'I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel.' But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, 'Lord, help me.' Jesus responded, 'It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs.' She replied, 'That's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table.' 'Dear woman,' Jesus said to her, 'your faith is great. Your request is granted.' And her daughter was instantly healed." We've certainly got some shameless persistence here. But I was like, I mean, you can read that and go, that's a bit harsh of God, of Jesus. No, he didn't even reply. I mean, that's just rude. You know, if we had a genuine prayer request, you say, "Would you pray for me?" Not even talking, not even giving her eye contact. And I was praying about that, and God just brought to me another scripture. You don't have to go there, but in Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And God said to me that he was bringing that woman through that persistence to the place of faith where her breakthrough was. So it wasn't that he was being moved. She was the one that was being moved. He knew her heart, remember. So he wasn't like, well, we'll just give this a punt and see how it goes. It could go either way. But there is this thing in here that if you want a breakthrough, sometimes people don't push through to the break and then they break down. So there is this thing of there's a place of faith that requires persistence for you and for me to get ourselves to that place of yes. That tenaciousness, like the woman of Shunem as well, that tenaciousness. I'm not going home. You've got me in your house, mate, until this thing's sorted. I am not going home. So we want to be in the place of persistence so that we can get to that I'm in faith about this now. I'm believing that God is my source, and I'm going to receive that power. And sometimes that takes persistence, and God draws us, like this lady, this Gentile woman. He was drawing her by not talking, I think she's probably one of the wittiest people in the Bible. You know, she's got an answer there. Oh, even the dogs, though, Lord. And she kept in faith of that, and she knew, she called him Lord right from the beginning. She did know that he was the one. If this thing's going to get sorted, you're it. And I'm not going to turn to the left, and I'm not going to turn to the right. Shameless persistence is the attitude that gets results. And just one last thing. Don't be too proud to persist. I know what it's like to, I've been prayed for about that. I've been forward for prayer. I've talked to people. I've prayed to God. I've cried, and it's like, and that I've been forward. I don't want to do that again, because that's kind of admitting defeat, surely, to go forward, to let someone pray for me again. And God says, don't be proud. Persist. Be shameless in it. It's like, I don't care. Until I get a result, mate, I'm keep pushing. And I had a little idea of a water balloon. I don't know if you've ever seen these little, our kids like to chuck them around and make an absolute mess with water balloons. But, you put these things, you open them up and put them over the tap. And they sort of, they're not very big to start with, water balloons. And God said, if you just turn the tap on and fill that balloon, he said, leave the tap on. What's going to happen to that balloon if you leave the tap on? It's going to burst. That thing, that problem, that issue, whatever it is, it's going to break. It's going to break. And then, so I was like, yeah, I see that, Lord. I see that. I see that that's going to break. He said, now put a pressure washer into that water balloon. And you're going to see it go. And it's like, that's what God said. Just keep applying the pressure of your faith. Keep applying it because it's building, it's growing. And it is having a result. That thing is going to burst. In James 1, last one, I promise. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance, your persistence has a chance to grow. And then it says, I really like this. It says, so let it grow. Let it grow. Let that persistence grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Why needing nothing? Because you've got the breakthrough. You've got it. You've got it. So just be shamelessly persistent. Be shamelessly persistent and keep going and keep going. So if that's you, if you've got something that you've been praying about and you just like, yes, yeah, that is it, that's it. But I have been prayed about before. It's just something you want to stand with. I'd really love to pray with you this morning. I'm just going to put the mic down. So if you want to come forward, I want to stand with you in that. My faith, your faith, let's do this thing together. Then I'm happy to stand with you if you'd like to come forward for prayer. I want to pray with you, but you don't have to. You know, it's just your spirit, my spirit. It's the same in Christ Jesus. So if you'd like to come forward, then please do. If there's something that you want to put some pressure on so that balloon bursts, then please feel free to come forward. I'd love to pray with you.